Blog Talk Radio.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Have a chat room tonight. I'm just going to wing it. Matter of fact, I didn't even put a description in the radio program, so I apologize, but it'll be up pretty soon. What I'm going to be talking about today is various subjects pertaining to the coming of the Lord, the soon coming of the Lord. In Psalms 90, verse 10, it talks about the days of our years are 70 years. If I reason a string, they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor in sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away, meaning we die. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, or is appointed for a man to die once and then to judgment, either right judgment or wrong judgment. So, in verse 10, the three score years in 10 equals 70. The 70 is 20 times 3, and the 10 is 70. So the reason why I'm saying this is that it is marking a generation. It is also marking a possibility of 80. Now, we know men ain't taking care of themselves these days. And I'm gonna tie this in to 2010 to 2008 and a possible tribulation period sometime in between. Now, if this is so, and 70 years is a generation period, we have to find the time that Jesus was referring to about the fig tree and who is the fig tree. And we have to also pinpoint when does this generation start. And by the way, what generation am I talking about? So in Matthew 24, and we're going to spend some time reading the scriptures today. In Matthew 24, Jesus declares, and he's talking to his disciples about the end times. And we want to pinpoint who is he talking to. The church was not here at this time, so he can't be talking to the church, but can he? Now, the church, the Jewish people that he was talking to, the disciples in Matthew 24, became the church. So what did it say in Romans? That the church was grafted in to into God's people. So the Gentiles were grafted in. Okay, so let's begin reading in verse 29. Let me make sure that's where I want to start reading. verse 29. Okay, let's do it. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. I had the microphone down all that time, and I was talking. I had the microphone on all that, off all that time. So I just, that was 6 minutes. I had, actually 4 minutes, I had the microphone off. So I apologize to everyone out there, if anyone was out there listening to a show. I apologize. So we're going to go ahead and start back over, I guess. And if you made it this far, great. So, okay, so what I was talking about is that Matthew 24 is a point that we need to look at in the Word of God. Now, what I would say is that, actually, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. Back. I apologize for having the microphone off. I would need to use my switchboard instead of the microphone mixer, but I have to deal with that. We're living in the end times, whether people like it or not. We were born with a purpose. Everyone has a purpose, and that is also to fill the void that God has put inside of us, and that void is to be filled by God himself. Adam and Eve had walked with God in the garden in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and 4 also, and they fell. Now, they had first-line experience with the relationship with the Lord, but God restored them, just like he can restore people who are listening to this radio program. Now, the near future will bring a war spoken of in Psalms 83. And that war will be against Israel, Hamas, the Palestinians, Lebanon, and Syria. Also, Iran will be in stage one. Stage two will involve a Russian invasion of Israel. Now, in the midst of stage one, where Israel will intensify a war with Syria, Isaiah 17 will come into play. Now, the leaders of Israel told the leaders of Syria that we will drop a nuke on you if you mess with us. Now, last year, Israel hit one of Syria's reactors. So what is the chances of Israel actually having the guts to start a war against, fight against Syria and drop a nuke on Damascus? They're not scared to do that. Now, something had to happen for Israel to do that. So that means that Syria, which are restockpiling their chemical weapons, probably went ahead and violated some type of agreement that Israel and Syria had where they started using chemical weapons. And that violation of that agreement started a war where Israel was also using chemical weapons. Now, we don't know for sure if Israel's going to stoop that low, but who knows? Now, as far as all of these things are concerned, there are wars and rumors of wars spoken of in Matthew 24. We know that because it's written there. But what would be a catalyst to ignite World War III? Could it be a preemptive strike from Israel? Or maybe Syria or Hamas deciding to go ahead and attack first so they know where Israel is coming from? And what is going on with the United States? The United States is not in Bible prophecy. I love my nation, but unfortunately, we are strayed away from God so far that we are at the point of no return. And see, what happens is we spend most of our time calling this a Christian nation when it's not. Now, if I was a Christian nation, doesn't make me a Christian nation today. We can't deal with one save, always save with a country, because we have the evidence. The evidence is us. So when pornography is your number one seller and most sitcoms make fun of Jesus, you are what you watch. So if a nation is watching sitcoms like The Simpsons, making fun of serving God, then we're no longer a Christian nation, folks. When you go to work and you're over the coffee pot, and your friend dying to tell you who Jesus Christ is, or is they dying to tell you the latest gossip? Are they loving to tell you what Jesus has done for them, or are they dying to tell you who won the Super Bowl? Or for you guys to discuss how many touchdowns were thrown in the NFC AFC championship. We have strayed away from God. And when the focus is not on God, then we are strayed from being a Christian nation. Y'all can trick yourselves all y'all want, but we're no longer a Christian nation. Now, with that being said, who is eligible for the rapture of the church? And with me saying that, I'm also going to give you how you can be born again. Now, if you read 1 John, the whole book of 1 John, the qualifications of being saved is there. Because we have to acknowledge that we are sinners. And we have to acknowledge that we continue to be sinners. Nowhere in the Bible that it tells us that we are no longer sinners. Now, it does say we're covered with the blood of Jesus, but nowhere in the Bible tells me that we are formal sinners. We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That scripture in Romans 3:23 does not take a shortcut. We all sin. Regardless of Jesus covering us or not, we're all sinners. Now, God looks down on us and he sees Jesus' blood because we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, what qualifies us for a rapture? A private taking out of God's church. What qualifies people to be taken out? And I will also, in the process of doing this, rebuttal all the people who say there is no rapture. Now, what qualifies someone to be rapture ready? What qualifies people to be not rapture ready? And we're gonna answer these questions. Now, I was watching Wife Swap, and this lady had tattoos all over her body, and she was bald head, and she had an earring in her nose. And I told my daughter, you know, she's closer to Jesus than most Christians going to church. Well, no, she's not. She's talking bad against Christians. Well, didn't Paul? See, when you go to church and you think you're saved, just because you go to church don't make you saved. If I'm a client and I'm in the garage and I'm a washer and dryer, that does not make me a car just because I'm in the garage. I have to be born again. In John 3, Nicodemus came up to Jesus and he says, Master, we know that you do all these great things, but he says, Nicodemus, you have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Born again, folks, I can define it in many ways, but I'm going to pick this one way. It's to be separate from the world, to come out of the world, to be different, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to put God first, that he is in your thoughts all day long. You say, well, I got to go around, walking around saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. No. But he governs your life. But if you do go off the deep end, he's going to summon you back on the right track real quick. Now, I'm not talking about the deep end when you just go astray completely. I'm talking about quick thoughts, quick attitudes, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The hope of glory is Christ in you. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, resides in all true believers. Okay, so let's go ahead and read. We're going to read the Church of Laodicea first. And Laodicea, and then we're going to contrast it with the Church of Philadelphia. Or actually, we're going to read Laodicea first. And this is Revelation 3:14. He says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, thou art lukewarm, and not neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Let's stop there. The churches today are money hungry, but the congregation is being told that give us $1,000 and your life will be much better. There are people out there who are telling the congregation, telling married, you know, single women that, hey, you need to give us that $400 that you got left, and then God is going to bless you. Is that insensitive or not? Movements in the church, prosperity movements, that focuses on getting and not giving. Not the true giving of your heart, where the Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot of preachers and pastors fleecing the flock. T.D. Jakes said, Jesus is the merchandise. What did it say in Peter? That they should make merchandise of you. Jesus is the merchandise. So Laodicea was rich and he needed nothing. And they probably broke the First John principle of chapter 1 and verse 9. And we'll go there and we'll read that. And it says, and it reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's back up into verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that is the key. We're so busy trying to go out and get ours and pay our, you know, tithing and overpay and thinking God is a slot machine and he's going to come back and bless us. Yes, he will bless you. But not in the principles that these people are talking about. And a lot of people in the church world look down on people who don't have that much money. It's because they think that riches is a form of godliness. Being rich, having money, shows that you are closer to God. He only blessed those who are in the know. He only blessed those who are following him. But guess what? The poor in spirit is those who will inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are content with what they have, rich or poor. Now, notice I didn't say you can't be rich. Now, Jesus did give warnings to those who get rich in this present world. Some will leave the church and do other things. It says that being rich is a problem in getting to heaven. It's like going through the eye of a needle. Now, is it a real needle that we use today? Was it sold with? No. But it is the needle that oxen used to use to carry the load that was in the back of them, like hay. Gadgets were used so the ox would stick his head in there and it'd be hard for the ox to fall out. So the pressure, the ox pushes forward and he carries the load. And the farmer used to use them to transport hay from one place to the other. So we have, folks, we must understand. Now this is spiritual too. He says, I wish that you were hot or cold. He's talking about spiritual. He says, you're rich and you need of nothing, spiritually and physically. But the main focus here, the reason why I did the money first, but the main focus here is spiritual. That you're rich and you need of nothing. There are a lot of people who would tell you right now that my sister is doing this or my cousin's doing that. And God said, what did God say? Get the plank out of your eye first before you get the speck out of your brother's sister's eye. We must be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Most lukewarm people have one foot in the world, one foot in the church. What does God say in 1 John 2:15? Love not the world or the things in the world. I just found out a couple of years ago that instead of being Indian, and you notice all of everybody wants to claim being an Indian, but we kick them off their land. I'm 5% Indian. I'm 2% Indian. And people take pride in it. When Indians hear this, they should be like, man, everybody wants to be us. But my family found out that we were Egyptian or Middle Eastern or African, but now Egyptians are still African. We found that out, and then my wife said, oh, wow, you might be the kin to a king. I'm like, the first time when she said that, I thought about Moses. Even though Moses was Jewish, but he was in Pharaoh's household. And what did he do with Pharaoh's household? He told him to shove it. He says, I'd rather be with the poor. I'd rather be with my people than be in the house of Pharaoh's, doing all this, you know, wasting my life when I could be serving the living God of the universe. So Laodicea is spiritually dead. Now let's go ahead and read in verse 18. It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich. Now God, his word is pure. It is a purifying, cleansing, changing device. And in Hebrews, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's withered inside of you, and it's pulling out all the garbage thing, and it's cleaning and it's replenishing you for your work in the Lord. He says, I counsel thee. Now, Jesus is counseling us to buy of him gold tried in the fire, that thou might be rich, and white raiment, that thou might be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eye with eye salve, that thou might see it. The Lord says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, also distorted knowledge. He says, the people perish who don't have vision. What kind of vision? See, God put inside of us not only a void for him to fill, but he's also given us an appointed life, destiny. And I hate using that word because a lot of the faith movement churches use this word, but destiny, that you were born at a time like this, as such as this. We're going to continue on, and I'm going to go back to verse 7 in the Church of Philadelphia. He says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Now today, God has given us the vehicle of electronics to spread the gospel. And every man and woman have that opportunity to gospel through these agents, especially Blog Talk Radio. It says, and no man can shut it. God is the only one can open the doors for us to have the opportunity to share the gospel with others, and he's the only one can shut it. And now here's the key. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. We are powerless. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And this is the difference between Laodicea. See, they were rich. They didn't need anything. But the Church of Philadelphia needed God's help. And he was both Lord and Savior. They counted on him every day to provide them with guidance. But the Church of Laodicea, they don't need guidance. And see, that's a scary, scary thing, folks. They don't need guidance. Now, I'm going to go ahead and go to Psalms 90, and I'm going to point out some things to y'all today. I believe that we are headed for war in the Middle East. And this is what I was saying before. I forgot to turn my microphone up. I believe that war in the Middle East is headed our way in the coming months or weeks. Psalms 90 gives a idea of the length of a generation. Psalms 90:10 says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 40 years. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. We fly away means we die. It's appointed for a man to die once and then the judgment. For Christians to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, let's read this again. It says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. Now, remember after the flood, God, the gravity pool probably changed. And he said the generation is 70 years and 10. The 70 is 60, and the 10 is 70 years. Now, on today's show, we're going to let you know that the tribulation period has a possibility of starting in 2010 or 11. Now, we're going to come back to this, but we need to warn everyone out there who is listening and who will listen to this show that we have to get right with the Lord. We have to get right. And I say we have to get right with the Lord. Now, it says in Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the king of heaven be, let me start back on. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, we're gonna chop this up into pieces because it's very important that we read this in the context that it's being read in. It says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Huh. And were they walking in the dark? And they're walking in darkness. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now notice, they all slumbered and slept. Even the disciples. And Jesus said, you guys asleep? Well, here come my people. Here come the people to come get me. It says, and at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Now, to me, this is a great explanation of why the church is asleep right now. Only a few of the body of Christ is actually looking for Jesus Christ to come back. And in 1 John, it talks about those who are wanting Jesus Christ to come back. Okay? And Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did it say it was looking for the Antichrist and that glorious appearing of the tribulation period? No. We're told to look for Christ. We're never told to look for the Antichrist. It says, and at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go ye out to meet them. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for their lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. I believe that shortly before the rapture of the church, there will be clues. And I believe that a lot of people are going to be telling their family and telling, that, hey, Jesus is coming back pretty soon. I believe some people are not going to understand true salvation in time. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, when you go to a Billy Graham crusade, they tell you to give your life to Jesus and that's it. Bye. See you later. And that is a cancer throughout America. You go to some of these churches and say, Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. Get saved. Close your eyes. Repeat after me. Okay, see y'all later. Here's a pamphlet. Well, in order to be saved, we must not only have Jesus as Savior, but he must be both Lord and Savior. That means he must be directing our hearts and directing our lives. And believe it or not, if you look at chapter 25 in context, you can't see in the dark unless you have some light. So in verse 9 it says, but the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us. Now, what does the Bible say when you correct a man in fault? It says, be careful that it might weigh you down or get you to fall. It says, lest there be not enough for us in you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. See, that's kind of weird because it's almost as if Jesus is speaking here in red, if you have the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament in red where Jesus is speaking. He's sort of saying in a way that it's going to be hard to, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's also distorted knowledge. It might be kind of hard to repair what has been taught you in the present church world or told you by even your parents. Some people believe that you can be saved by, God has grandchildren. You know, my mom went to church. I read my Bible all the time. I even memorized scripture. I can even be transformed by the renewal, you know. Yeah. And verse 10, let's go ahead and read verse 10. And while they all went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. When the rapture happens, there should be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be earthquakes in diverse places. There are going to be famines, pestilence. And here's what I think is going to happen. When you watch a drag racer, and a drag racer starts off slow, and by the time that he passes the finish line, that vehicle is going super fast. I believe that the times are going to come where things are going to accumulate so fast that people are not going to be able to think right. And I think that the grocery stores, the banks, the social fabric of even the highways will be stopped at these points. And I believe that there'll be earthquakes, and just like Jesus said, in diverse places. Now, there's already been four earthquakes majorly, plus a lot of warnings. But I think as time gets closer to Jesus Christ coming, it's going to increase greatly. The swine flu will be yesterday's news, and it will be terrible. Okay? We're going to take a break. And we're going to be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at AnAmericanWarning.com. That's AnAmericanWarning.com.
Talk about end-time prophecy and what God says will happen in this world. Stay tuned for an amazing show. You're listening to The Prophecies on Blog Talk Radio.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay, we're back. I apologize if you hear my son upstairs sometime. When you get on the phone, you can be talking about anything. No one shows up, and then when you start talking about things that are important, you get a lot of interference. And kids normally are the ones who ask you, Mom, 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 when you get on the phone. Dad, 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 Dad. So you have to just accept it, I guess. I just tell him to go sit down somewhere. But I got a 2-year-old who is just running his own thing, along with daddy downstairs. He's running things. So, anyway, getting back to what I was talking about is that you don't want to be here during the tribulation period. And I'll repeat, you do not want to be here during the tribulation period. And Matthew 25, it talks about people who the Holy Spirit must indwell in order to be able to go into the marriage with the bridegroom. Okay, and I repeat that again. You must have, in Romans chapter 8, it says, if you do not have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. And see, the Spirit of God will take you from Egypt. It will take you from 1 John 2:15. Love not the world or the things in the world. Now you still go shopping. You still go. Oh, that's the worst place. I shouldn't have started out that way. But you still go fishing. You still watch football games. But see, that stuff does not conquer you, because you have a right perspective that Jesus has to be first. And see, some of the people that I explain to don't understand it. They're like, they don't get it. And they are, now let's talk about American Idol for a second. American Idol is one of the biggest shows in the world right about now. And I've been watching American Idol for a while. And I really haven't really paid attention to the names until recently. Everybody's looking for something to idolize. Everybody's looking for someone to fill that void that I was talking about earlier in the show that God has put inside of everybody. Football players and basketball players are idols in our society. Golf players also. Now, we know what's going on in the news about all of those individuals, from Kobe Bryant to Tiger Woods to Mike Tyson to singers. We can't wait till the next album come out. We can't wait till the next Brent Favre breaks a record. I gotta watch the football game. Brent Favre is gonna Peyton Manning is gonna break the record tonight. But see, if an idol can be made, if an idol could be slip into condemnation, if an idol can be unfaithful to his wife, then the idol has trouble and accomplishing what it was set out to accomplish. Now, a lot of people are looking for idols to perform security for them, to bring happiness, to bring to fulfill their lives. And these things are not going to come unless God fills those voids. He has to fill the voids, or else it's not going to be filled by anybody else. But see, God has plans for us in our lives. He has plans for us big time. And we have to follow those plans, or else God is not going to, we are living in the end times, and we must wake up. Because if we do not wake up, it's going to be too late. I do suspect some type of terrorist attack in the not-too-distant future. I believe that politicians, when they get in trouble and they want various bills passed and they want their approval rating back up, what do? What do? They choose buildings to be brought down, okay? And they also blow up things. Adolf Hitler burned up the Reichstag when he felt that it was well needed. And if you believe 9/11 was a natural thing where four 19 hijackers take over planes with box cutters, you got a problem. When you get a chance, take a look at the people on the plane with you when you next time you travel and ask yourself a question. Would these people allow, that's on the plane, that is with you on the plane, allow some hijackers with box cutters to take over the plane? Maybe they didn't know. Well, I'll tell you this. If they didn't know somebody was on a plane taking it over, I'm pretty sure NORAD should have knew something. But there's proof in various newspapers and various military information that NORAD was told to stand down. So when your president gets in trouble and his approval rating slips and he wants to control the world, they do these things. And see, the time is coming when we are not going to, I believe everybody's asleep, just like it said in the verse that we're reading in Matthew 25. I believe that everybody's asleep. And it did say, it says at midnight there was a cry. But before that cry, it says in verse 5 of chapter 25 of Matthew, it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So that means the church is even in a slumber and sleeping. Have you ever heard anybody come up to you in some of your towns and different organizations invite you out to church? Now, if you do and you say yes to this question, then you're a blessed person because you live in a city that's hot. But for me, I live in Spokane, Washington. And for the first time, actually I live in, I ain't going to tell you where I live, but for the first time outside, you can still consider it Spokane. But where I live at, for the first time, somebody about a year and a half ago, somebody came up to me and asked me, invited me to church. So I've been here all this time and only one person in, maybe two people between me and my wife has approached us to go to church, maybe three churches. But we have to work hard for that. So the church is slumbering and sleeping because they are thinking of all kinds of programs other than the programs they should be running, which is to hit the streets, hit the territory, that these people are in. So, with that being said, we're going to take a break, and I'll be right back.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same, because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.
Hey, everybody out there, my name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to invite y'all to join us on the Prophecy Zone every Thursday and Sunday as we talk about the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about world events like the Mark of the Beast, Israel, Middle East peace talks, Middle East wars. We're going to be talking about things like the end time generation that we live in, because we are living in the final days. So join us on the Prophecy Zone. I didn't use a chat room today because I'm trying to just focus. But evidently, I have a son upstairs that's almost two years in about a couple weeks, who is raising all kinds of ruckus. And believe it or not, my wife can't do anything about it. Now, this kid is like, I think he's tired. So let's pray I can get to the next 35 minutes without him screaming from the top of his lungs. Because he's just up there screaming at everybody. He's got, and do I have my house in order? Yeah, I got my house in control. But this kid is just when I first got back with God, I didn't really. Me and my wife went to a powwow, and believe it or not, if I'd have known what I know now, I would have never took my we would have never went to powwow. But it was actually fun. But that night, we went back and we were romantic and we conceived this child that we have. And for some strange reason, we knew it was that night, but for some strange reason, we never she knew she was pregnant right away. It's like a couple of days, but for some reason we just avoided not doing anything. So we knew it was that day. We wasn't into it for about a week or two. For some strange reason, we just, you know, something happened. But anyway, and like a long story short, I'm still like, man, I had this baby. I put this baby in front of the church, and he was that, you know, what you want to call the, when the pastor prays over the Christians, or when pastor prays over the baby. And this kid is brilliant. He does certain slow things, like he didn't walk until he's like one or two. But thank God, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Maybe it's mostly our fault because we really didn't. We was kind of scared too, because we knew what kind of kid he would be. And once he got up, now he's like, he jumps on the computer and he surfs the internet. And now I'm gonna put this key on it where it's a security key that he can't go to various websites. But this kid is brilliant. We got a couple of pictures I'll put on the website on my page and let y'all see how this kid is brilliant. But he does some crazy stuff, though, like scream from the top of his lungs. And he only does it when the radio program is on. So I'm hoping those, you know, it has nothing to do with the power. I'm just joking. I pray over my child all the time. I'm just joking. We pray over him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared." Now, what is this, having your conscience seared? Well, people go to church a punch a ticket every week, and they hear the gospel so much that it becomes ineffective to them, okay? I'm going to have to take another break, I think. And we'll be right back. Okay, no, I'm not going to take a break. I'm just going to keep plugging away. Now, in the last days, a lot of people will depart from the faith, and they will go into a counterfeit Christianity. And this Christianity will lead them down the wrong road. And they would have no point of no return. And see, we have to pray as Christians, the ones who are right, that we stand strong in the Lord and that the word of God remains. The simplicity of the gospel remains, because of the simplicity, we lose the simplicity, we lose clarity. Okay. Now, reading Galatians says that if anybody preach any other gospel than the one that they have heard, let him be accursed. Now, there are people out there right now saying that we can be gods. You're a little G, and I'm a big G, and we just the original G's. Well, I'm going to let y'all hear audio tape that I did play last week, but I'm going to go ahead and play it again, and we'll go from there. I'm hoping it plays. We did this last time, I think, when it's a lot of people, a lot of traffic on the weekend. It kind of slows everything down. Here we go. This is Joyce Myers. This audio clip is Joyce Myers teaching unbiblical things.
And, you know, I was listening to a set of tapes by one man, and he explained it like this, and I think this kind of gets the point across. He said, you know, why do people have such a fit about God calling his creation, his man, not his whole creation, but his man, little gods? If he's God, what's he going to call him but the God kind? I mean, if you as a human being have a baby, you call it a human kind. If cattle has another cattle, they call it cattle kind. So, I mean, what's God supposed to call him? That's the Bible says we're created in His image. Now, you understand how God is God. This is the capital G. And he's not the English speaker, so don't go trying to stone me or yell blasphemy at me.
Blasphemy!
John 10, 34. Let's read this again. Well, let's just start again at verse 32. Jesus said to them, my Father has enabled me to do.
All right, blasphemy. Blasphemy! I'll say it. How about that? That is as blasphemy as you can get. I'm not even going to even bother that one. Let's go ahead and I'm going to play another clip for y'all. Ready?
It's like it's always been the little women that caught the vision of giving, beginning with Jesus himself, out of their private means. Some of you little precious ones have that little grocery money, some of that little money set aside. Assure tonight the blessings of God on your family by giving it to God and speaking that. Say it, God, this is for blessings on my family. I love that.
Oh, give me your last cent, you mother that don't have about 15,000 kids. Give me your last penny. I'll feed you. Oh, gotta feed you. I mean, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. Oh. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you my last cent. Let's listen to another one. It's taking a little bit of time with these, but they're not files. They're actually videos on my page. You can go to my page.
Billy Graham. Billy Graham.
Actually, that's the wrong one. So I'm just going to stop it there. Because I haven't really listened to that one. I listened to the other ones that I have. And I guess we keep going. But let's listen to, now these guys are talking about little gods over here. You can't really hear them say the word God, but let's listen.
I am a little. Yes. I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship. I am a little.
I am a little God. I am a little God. That's the name of the what the Antichrist is, I am God. And so, I mean, many false prophets would come and say that we are Christ and so deceive many. I think that's going to be the new shout and the tribulation period, a new religion. And see, the Antichrist, people don't believe it, but the Antichrist will rise as a Muslim first. But he will create his own religion because he might have been toying with the idea anyway of probably reading many books on religion. Or maybe he's going to come up with his own religion. He's going to say, I am God, you're little God, but I am God. I am big G, you're little G. And that's part of the New Age movement. The New Age movement is saying we are gods. And people don't believe that, but it is so. And if you don't believe it, you know, you got it on. See, I just played it for you. It's Paul Crouch. And Paul Crouch don't believe in doctrine, so he calling himself little God. What's going to put him back on track? Listen.
I'm tired of scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, talking traditions when the harvest is perishing out there. And God's calling the party to come together. Let him sort out all this doctrinal duty. I don't care.
Well, he doesn't care about doctrines. That's something unusual already. And that's probably why Timothy is saying that in a lot of times some shall depart from the faith. It reads in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter day times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, the doctrine here of devils could also be considered the turning away of actual doctrine, which he is doing right now. He's saying that he's tired of all his doctrinal duties. Now, some people probably come up to me and say, well, he's saying that he's tired of people using the scripture and twisting it. But don't you think the first or the last one I just told you, played for you, was enough to figure out that he has a whole bunch of heresy on his own? Let's listen to Benny Hinn.
I was for you. When you were born again, the Word was made flesh in you. And you became flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Don't tell me you have Jesus. You are everything he was and everything he is and ever shall be.
You are God.
And the new man doesn't look back. He has no past. He doesn't look ahead. He's got no future. It says, "I am as he is."
I ain't a God. If I'm a God, then I'm pretty sure I would have it all together. And Jesus did not have to say, "Without me, you can do it, nothing." Because a God can do all kinds of stuff. So God himself, there's only one God. That's God himself. He comes in the Trinity, which is three persons in the Godhead, which makes up one God. That's it. I'm not a God. You're not a God. Wouldn't you like to sit down and not be a God too? Okay, I'm not a God. I need God. That is exactly why Laodicea is rich and they need of nothing. They don't need a God. They don't need God. Why would you need God when you're spiritually rich? Oh, I am a God. These people are going to go right into the tribulation period. And some of these people, see, the bad thing is these people believe there is a rapture. And that's a bad thing. And then there's a unit out there who believe that there is no rapture. And I'm kind of getting sick of them. Totally getting sick of them. Let's continue to listen to a little bit more of Ms. Crouch. Oh, gosh. I forgot this video. Makes her voice deeper. We give her at least that consideration. But the end times are upon us within months away, maybe weeks. I believe we still have to occupy until Jesus comes. We still live our lives. And it's kind of weird because we're looking. The true Christians look for Christ to come back. Those who aren't true Christians don't give a darn, you know. And you probably say, that's unfair. That's not fair. You mean to tell me that the true Christian needs to be looking? Yeah. It says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he's waiting for the last Gentiles to come in, to the fullness of the Gentiles come in. So there's a certain number of Gentile people that will be saved in its appointed time, in the last days. Okay? So the Lord loves everyone out there, and he does not want anyone to perish. God has a destiny for you. He just like Esther, just at a time such as this. Esther says she came to the, she told her uncle, "I came to a, time, I came here for a time such as this." I believe I'm on Blog Talk Radio and sooner later God will bless me in other places, but I'm come to the 21st century for a time such as this, you know, to spread the gospel that Jesus is Lord and he is our Savior and he wants you to enter heaven. Folks, we do not want to go to hell. We do not want to play Russian roulette that the Christians are truly right. The ones who we said, you know what, man, these people are morons. Bible, they read their Bible, hypocrites in the church, blah, blah, blah. What we fail to realize about the hypocrites in the church is we fail to realize that Jesus said it himself, that I would divide the wheat from the tares at the appointed time, but let them grow together. So hypocrites are growing along the true Christians. And even the true Christians can be a hypocrite once in a while until God steers them back on track. Do not let that be an excuse for you not going to Jesus and asking to be saved, because he will save you. He would not refuse you, okay? But we need to live our life for him. See, a lot of people want to say that sinner's prayer, and then they want to walk and talk the way they want, and they want to act like everybody else. You can't do that. God does not play games. You're either in or you're out. So God will help you. If you're a smoker, God will help you. If you're a drink, if you're a drinker, God will help you. If you're into pornography, God will help you out. God has come to seek and to save those who are lost, but he's also come to take the sins away from a dying society. He's come to free you from the bondages of habits that you have. I'd rather be free from habits than for God to come down and give me $20,000. Because if I'm free from habits, who the Son says free is free indeed. Now, what does he mean by I'm coming back for a church without spot or blemish? What does he mean by I am coming back for a church without spot nor blemish? Does he mean he's coming back for a perfect church? Or he's coming back for someone with the right attitude, the right heart? Well, in my daughter's gym, she just got to playing basketball. My daughter's gym, it says attitude on the wall. Now, a Christian who has the wrong attitude thinks like this. I went to a Billy Graham crusade about 10,000 years ago, and I said the sinner's prayer, so I'm good. Okay? And they'll be the same ones criticizing the true Christian who is serving Jesus daily. Yo, you don't have to do all of that. I don't have to do all of that to be saved. God is going to save me. I've already said the sinner's prayer. I've been saved since I was 5. Oh, yeah? Wow. I didn't know you could be saved that long, put God on railway, don't think about him at all. Yeah, I've been saved since I was 5. Well, you need to get saved again, because you're looking like the world. The world has its own way of thinking. That's why you can tell a Christian apart. And see, I was watching Wife Swap, and true, the family was kind of hardcore. They put, you know, they had control of everything. But it's funny because the people I'm watching it was like, oh, that's not good. What's not good? I would rather not force my kids, but I'd rather present Jesus to them so they can make their own decision. But at the same time, you know, to say that that's not cool, what is cool? So we can let our kid go out on the world scene and just do what he wants to do? Because I came into a marriage with 3 kids, and right now my oldest is just, I don't know what to say to him. I mean, he's not the baddest kid in the world. He's scared of me because I'm big as heck. But at the same time, he stays away from the house as if we're bothering him all the time. And I'm like, man, you know what? I can't do anything for you as far as bringing him to Christ. And he can only make that decision for himself. And I say, and I don't want to tell my kids directly. Sometime I will. But I say, you don't want to be here during the tribulation period. Do I tell my kids that? No, but I feel like it. Sometimes, actually a couple of times I did. They say, well, I thought your kid's only 14 and 13. They're pretty cool. They're good. So they got a dad, drinks and drives. So my kid go over there, drink and drive. I'll find out when I get to heaven that they're not there. I'm going to be, God's already wiped away every tear, but heck, I'm going to feel some sorrowful. See, people don't think like that. They don't think like, you know what? instead of babying my kid, once I get saved, so my kid can go to heaven too. But see, people are so lukewarm or so doggone caught up in the issues of life that they can't tell they're not saved or not. You can't watch them. Even me, the Holy Spirit won't let me sit out in front of the TV and watch anything I want to watch. The Holy Spirit won't let me do what I want to do. Not those kind of things. Pornography, it won't let me watch pornography. I can't do those things. I can't cuss. I can't do. I mean, I do argue with my wife, and God is working on that one. Do I argue all the time? No, we don't argue all the time. I'm kind of shooting my foot off because we don't argue all the time. But I'm saying that's the last hurrah. If Satan can attack you through your marriage, then he's going to find another way to attack you. He's going to get you somewhere. So God has told me, you know what, man, treat your wife as Christ. Treat the church. I love the church. And in that way, the devil has to find another. Now, am I going to put my guards now? Heck no. Because he's slick. He's a roaring lion. Walking around seeking who he made. I have no idea what just happened here, folks. I have no idea. I'm going to tell you right now, I have no idea. So if y'all out there still listening, I don't think nobody's out there listening. This is crazy, man. For some strange reason, I got bounced off. Okay, so I'm probably going to cancel this show. I have no idea what happened. I got enough money on my Skype card. I can't tell y'all what's going on. I'm lost. So God bless everybody out there. There's no reason to keep going. I don't even know if anybody was listening to what I was saying. So if anybody was listening to what I was saying and know that I was not kicked off, I got a chat room open, so if y'all can come in there and tell me if y'all heard me say anything. I don't believe this. This has been a disaster today. This has been a complete disaster. So if anybody can come into the chat room and let me know if y'all heard me or something, or give me a ring on the call-in line, that'd be awesome. But the show was just a complete mess. But God, I don't know if that was just, I have no idea. I can't even tell y'all what just happened. Wow. But things happen.
Don't hope radio.
Things happen like this, man. And I swear, but God, things happen like this sometime, and you know you got to be at war. I can almost tell you that, wow, this is crazy. But anyway, y'all, I'm going to go ahead and go off. Y'all have a blessed week, and we'll talk to y'all later.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays, 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we don't go blowing up people and killing our enemies because God never told us to do so, but we're literalists in our interpretation of what the Bible says. We believe it verbatim, we believe it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we live accordingly. So why is that so hard to believe that Muslims would do the same? Because the Quran puts no limitations on the violence and the war against those who stand opposed to Islam, where the Bible and the New Testament, especially in grace under which we live, Jesus never mandates that we do such a thing. So, you know, they're literalists and we are literalists. Theirs causes them to be violent.
Rapture Ready Radio, live on Tuesday and Saturday, and the BB Report live on Thursday. Visit www.raptureReadyRadio.com for more show information.